Well, it's great to be together as family today. And the children are staying in with us for the meeting today, which is fantastic. So we're just going to give a couple of announcements for the next weeks ahead, today and the next couple of weeks, and then we'll take up the offering, and then the children are going to come and do a skit for us. And so this evening there is a resurrection celebration at the Usher Hall. These are fantastic events that have been going for a number of years. They are facilitated by a group called Origin. The music is outstanding, and it's a fantastic experience to sing with 3,000 people. The tickets are free. So if you want to get one this afternoon, you can just go online and go to www.originscotland.org, or you can call that telephone number there. I'm sure there are still tickets available. A few of us are going tonight. It's a fantastic evening just to celebrate with thousands in Edinburgh this greatest event of all, that Jesus is risen. And so, yeah, encourage you to go along to that. Opportunity to go, opportunity to take a friend, and for people to see, yeah, that this thing of Easter is much bigger than we may think. So that's this evening, 7:30 at the Usher Hall. Then this week, there's no life groups this week. We're going to be setting up for Regenerate. Next weekend, we're looking forward to it. About just over 80 people, young people, have registered for Regenerate. And it's the vision of Regenerate is to impact and live as radical disciples of Jesus and just see the next generation just powering on for the Lord. We had an awesome time last year, and we're really looking forward to next weekend. There's people already started arriving. There's six folk come in from South Africa who arrived earlier in the week. They're in Dundee this weekend with Lifegate Church, ministering there with Jeff and Debbie. Fantastic group of young people. And so we're really, really expectant for next weekend. And I just want to thank you again for those who are hosting. Really do appreciate the folk who've made their homes available. There's about 20 folk being hosted, and that is fantastic. Jenny, do you want to add a few things?
Yeah. There's a flip chart on the coffee bar, on that side of the coffee bar, that has the times for the Friday and Saturday evening, where we really appreciate some help clearing the tables next door and just clearing things. The what is required and is also on those sheets, and the time to be here. So if you are available on either of those evenings and would like to help, just sign your name up on that sheet. Thank you. And you're also all welcome to come, especially on the Saturday evening, and obviously on the Sunday morning we expect everyone to be here as usual. So you're welcome to come along. I think Roy is offering to help as many times as possible just to be at the conference. But it's open to everyone. So if you have a free Saturday and you want to be here, welcome to come along as well. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, some great things lined up. There's stuff for the ladies, stuff for the guys. There's workshops on worship, discovering your call, who is Jesus. There's an encounter evening on the Saturday night, which would be kind of prophetic time of worship. So, yeah, just feel free to come along and join in. And, yeah, thanks for folk who are getting involved with serving. Those lists on the coffee bar there, if you'd like to sign up Friday evening or Saturday evening. And then we have some baptisms in May. Paul and Caitlin are getting baptized, and we're delighted about that. And we're believing for more as well. You know, baptism really sums up what this what we're celebrating today, the death and resurrection of Jesus, where we receive his life, and then baptism is where we declare, I'm a Christian. Christ's life has come into my life. He's changed me. And he's taken away something of the old, and he's given me a brand new life and a new adventure and a new journey. Yeah, wonderful. And then I'm going to ask Dee if she wants to just come and say a quick word about Illuminate. As we are starting something fresh at the end of April in terms of a new class. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just like, what words would you like? Do you say? That's not one. That's fine. I'll stand back. Is it? So we've got a toddlers class joining Illuminate, as we can see, 2 to 4 year olds. We're getting quite a lot of the children in now, and it'd be nice to free up the mums. It's nice to get the children into a setting, like a bit like nursery school, where they're used to the way we work, our teachers, and that they're a lot more comfortable then when they go into the next class. So we are starting a younger class, and we're splitting up the classes properly, and we're really praying for the workers to step forward, because these children need people that love them to teach them and share with them. So anybody who's keen, and even if you're not keen, I may approach you. But no, it's certainly, even if something that you just feel on your heart that you'd like to give a go, you're not committed to this for the next 5 years, there's no contract written up, please feel free to come and share. And in the kids zone, we do pay you well with sweeties, treats, cuddles and kisses. So please... And if you've got any suggestions, or if you've seen something done somewhere before, or you've got anything at all that you think might enhance, then please come and give us your suggestions. Share with us so that we can grow and make this kids' ministry into exactly what it should be. Do you know what I mean? So please, if you've got suggestions or any ideas, anything that's sent home that you think that we could use, we're open to every suggestion, every donation. Thank you very much. Is that okay?
Wonderful. I'm going to ask Danny and Paul if they don't mind just taking up the offering for us this morning. Thanks very much. And then the children are going to get set up thereafter for their skit. Wonderful. Nobody? Yeah, that wrong. Thank you very much. Yeah, wasn't that awesome? Children, you did so well, eh? Yeah. Well done, everyone. And specifically, yeah, with Aaron and Xander and Sebastian. Yeah? Well done. But, and Lorna, well done. So nobody but Jesus. So guess what the topic is this morning? Nobody but Jesus. And we want to talk for a short while on, because we're celebrating the fact that he's the life and he's risen from the dead, that we're going to talk about Jesus, the life. And one of Jesus' best mates, we're going to involve the children as well. I'm going to need some children. I'll call them out as we go through each of these containers in front here shortly. But Jesus' best mate, John, who was called the beloved disciple, more than any of the other gospel writers, highlights that the reason that Jesus came was to give us life. And the 7 statements that Jesus makes about himself in John's gospel, 7 I am statements. And he not only made, but then went out and lived. It's one thing to say something about yourself. It's an entirely different thing to then go out and show that you are that person. And so I want to look at 4 of those statements this morning. And they're represented in these 4 containers. And they're around this theme of Jesus, the life. So I wonder if, Sebastian, Come and open up this container for us, and we'll see what the first thing we're going to talk about, what Jesus said about himself. Try it from that side. There we go. That's it. Okay, just show everybody what's in there.
It's a bit of bread.
Okay, hold it up there.
Wow.
Right, so Roel, you can take that if you want, if you're hungry. So, but, yeah, I don't know how fresh it is, but
it's fresh. Might still be frozen.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 6 and verse 35, he said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now, kids, do you remember when he said that? It was actually also Easter time, but it was a year before he was going to die at the following Easter, or what the Jewish people called Passover. And he just multiplied a boy's packed lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed 5,000 people. Can you believe it? 5,000 people had been fed with something so small. In fact, he tested his disciples who were following him. And he said, because he said to them, "How much food do you reckon we need to feed these multitudes that are following us?" And they said, "Even 200 days wages wouldn't be enough to give a little to each person." See, they were thinking too small. They were thinking in the natural, but there was nobody who could do that but Jesus. And so we know the story. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this event was indelibly imprinted in the lives of his followers, because can you remember how many big basketfuls were left over? Anybody remember how many?
12.
12. 1 for each disciple. Imagine those disciples carrying that. You know, the Bible says these were big baskets, carrying them off. And they would never forget that he'd fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves. And these baskets were overflowing. It also says that the people were stuffed. They were filled to the brim. And Jesus has come to give us life, not just physically. The crowd started to follow him because of the miracles that he did, the signs and wonders that he was doing, and because also they wanted a free lunch. Yeah. So he said, and so he turns around and said, "Don't just follow me because of what you can get for your stomachs. I'm the bread of life. I've come not to just to nourish you physically, but to fill you on the inside spiritually, emotionally, in your soul. That's why I've come. I'm the bread of life. And if you thirst after me, and if you hunger after me, you'll never thirst again. If you feed on me." See, there's a spiritual hunger in every human being. We were made with eternity in mind. Every human being has an eternal dimension to them because we're made in the image of God. We will live forever, actually. Our bodies may die physically, but our soul and our spirit will go on into eternity. Jesus came because actually we were all on a pathway because of our sin into a lost eternity. Jesus came as the bread of life to give his life, to distribute his life on a cross so that we could be saved and we could receive life. He alone is the satisfaction. You know, there was a singer many years ago, some of the older ones here might know, maybe even some of the younger ones, because he's still going, a guy by the name of Mick Jagger. He led a group called the Rolling Stones, appropriate today when we think about the stone was rolled away. And he sang a song and he said, "I can't get no satisfaction, no matter how I try. It's a true song with true words, because there's no satisfaction in money. There's no satisfaction in career on its own. There's no satisfaction in the highest human achievement, even in the closest personal relationship. That brings incredible joy and love to our lives. But there's only Jesus that actually satisfies the inner world, the soul and the spirit for eternity. He's the bread of life.
he goes on to say in verse 57, we're going to skip to verse 57 of that chapter. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It's an amazing statement there. He says, as I feed off my Father and I live because of him, as you feed on me, you will live because of me. He's talking about a continual fellowship there of communion with him. And so he left us bread as a symbol of his body, didn't he, that was broken for us. And he left us wine as a symbol of his blood that was shed for us. And he said, when you do that, when you remember that death, remember that I gave my life for you and stay in communion with me. Now, what he's talking about there is not just when we eat the bread and drink the juice, but he's saying, have living fellowship with me all the time. You know, the Greek word for company, kum means with, pani is where we get our word panini from. Yeah, anybody had a panini recently? Yeah, a panini, a sandwich. With bread, that's what company means, with bread. And the picture there is, in the Jewish household, when you had fellowship together, when you had friends around, a place where good friends meet, you ate together, you relaxed together, you were around the dining room table together. Jesus did that tons of times with his friends. He's saying, I'm the bread of life. Keep company with me. Fellowship with me. Come to me. Walk with me. Run with me. Share with me. Draw life from me. And you will be eternally satisfied. You will be eternally filled, fulfilled. I'm the bread of life. He is the ultimate satisfaction. He's the ultimate fulfillment. As we feed on him, on his words, and on his Spirit. So let's go to the second statement that Jesus made about himself. So, Sasha, would you like to come out with your mum maybe? Or? And let's open up this tin and see what's inside, shall we? See if you can open that. Oh, it's a bit stiff, isn't it? Let me help you. Wow, we need an angel to remove this stone. Oh, there we go. What's in that? What's inside there? Just, do you want to pull it out and show it to everybody? Lift it up, sure. Can you see? Oh, can we see that? What is that? It's a light bulb, yeah? A light bulb. Thank you. Do you want to take that back to your mum? Shove it as a present. Be a light bulb moment. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And three little things, or big things actually, about light. Light shows the way, doesn't it? Jesus says, if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness anymore. I'll lead you forward. I'll lead you in a straight line. I learnt in my physics lessons many years ago that it's a property of light, that light moves in straight lines. The Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It's pure light. And Jesus came and he shone in this world. He was born in this world and the darkness never put out the light. The lightness shone through, even in the darkest hour. And so that's true for us when we receive the life of Christ. A light is switched on and there's somebody at home. And his name is Jesus. We can ask him to come into our lives and we receive light. He brings a purpose to my life. He brings direction. The second thing that light does, we've seen it again recently with the clock springing forward last Sunday, is the days are getting longer and lighter, and the sun's shining in through the windows again, and we we can reduce the heating down in the lounge, and we're thinking, wow, this is great. And we had the window cleaner around on Good Friday. And I thought it was a bit unusual. But anyway, he was cleaning our windows and stuff. And we thought, man, that's going to be great. We're just going to get more light coming through. But about an hour after he'd finished, all we saw was these drips coming down and actually missed a few parts and so on and so forth. You see, but we only saw it when the sun came out. You see, that's what light does. Light reveals things as they are. Light shows things to be actually what they are. You know, and I remember in my life, I thought, actually, I was doing okay as a teenager. I was kind of, you know, watching my P's and Q's. I was kind of, you know, thought I was living a fairly good life. But then Jesus started to shine his light into my life as I read the Bible, as I went with other young people, started to see Jesus' light in their lives too. And it did two things for me. One, it gave me a hunger, a desire to have more of that true light that they had that I didn't have. And secondly, it pointed out to me that the religion that I thought was light was actually darkness. I grew up in a religious home, had a very religious upbringing, but I didn't have life. It was dusty, it was dry, it was boring. And whilst I'm grateful for what I was exposed to in terms of the wonderful hymns that we used to sing, there was very little of the gospel of Jesus Christ and why he came. But when I started to open up God's word, God shone his light into my heart, and I realized, actually, there's some stuff on the inside, Malcolm, that I need to deal with. I need to give over to God. I need to repent of. I need to hand over to him. And when you do that, it brings freedom. See, Jesus reveals truth so that we can walk in freedom. He doesn't come to condemn us. That wonderful scripture that Gareth read earlier out of John chapter 5. God sent his son in the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But he came in to shine the light. And the Bible says that this actually is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But actually, Jesus shines his light into our lives so that we can see our sinful condition. And then we see he is the light that actually gives us purpose, and we can hand it over to him. He convicts us so that we can walk free. He doesn't condemn us. We're actually already in a place of dark imprisonment. We're already condemned. He comes to set us free. And thirdly, light brings growth, doesn't it? Light transforms a dull scene. Yeah, I love it when you're driving along in the country areas and you're looking out on the countryside and the fields, and then suddenly the sun breaks through the clouds and the whole scene is transformed. That's what Jesus does when we receive him into our life. He transforms our lives. He changes our lives. Let's go to the third tin. Sophia, would you like to come out? Yeah, great, wonderful. And let's see what we got inside here. Oh, this is going to come off a bit easier, so I'll let you do that one. And then see if you recognize that. Do you recognize that? Let's just shake that out. And then do you want to hold that up to everybody and then say what it is? It's a?
Door.
It's a door. Yeah, well done. Fantastic. Do you want to keep that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I like that. Yeah, that's great. And in John chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, that's a fantastic picture, eh? He's the doorway to life. Are we able to flick up that scripture, guys? Thank you very much. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So there's two great I am statements there. I'm going to put them together. He says, I am the door of the only way of salvation, and I'm the good shepherd who gives my life for the sheep. Two together. Jesus is the only way into life. There's no other way. There's no other religion on planet Earth that offers mankind a savior. Not one. Christianity is the only one. Jesus, the name Jesus means savior, salvation. He came to save the world. We cannot save ourselves from our sin by our own good works or religious acts. Jesus came to save us. He's the doorway into life. And the wonderful picture is that he's the shepherd, the eternal shepherd, the shepherd king that actually became a sacrificial lamb on the cross. Let's just flick up that picture on the cross. Thanks, guys. Jesus took the full pain and punishment for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the world. He was totally blooded. He was totally sacrificed. He was scourged with a whip with lead in it 39 times. Many people died from that flogging of the Romans. At a whipping post, he was taken through to a place called the Hill of the Skull, Golgotha, and nailed to a cross in his wrists and his feet. Crown of thorns was stuck on his head. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was shamed. He was abused. He was left naked, humiliated. And friends, God himself, Jesus the shepherd, opened the door through the opening and the ripping of his flesh, through the sacrificing of his life. He took it all on himself for you and for me. Every human being. We sang it last week that it was all laid upon him. The full punishment for sin, guilt, shame, and the wrath of God was poured out. See, God is holy. And he couldn't just sweep sin under the carpet. But he had to deal with sin. And the only person who could deal with it was himself. So he sent his son to take the full weight of it and to die our death and to make a way. And the book of Hebrews says that by a new and living way, he's opened up an entrance for us into the presence, holy presence of God again. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we who were sinners, through faith in Christ, might become the righteousness of God in Christ and have fellowship again with the holy God. Jesus is the light of the world. It's an amazing thing that when he hung on that cross for 3 hours from midday, noon, to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Bible says there was darkness over all the land. Now, what happened there? What was it, an eclipse? No. You know, recently we had that solar eclipse, didn't we? It didn't get fully dark, did it? No. It was quite an amazing moment, though, wasn't it? You know, I saw people, you know, outside with their special glasses and stuff, just having a look at this. But it wasn't a solar eclipse that day that Jesus died. Some people have said, it must have been a big sandstorm, but it was the wrong season. It wasn't the dry season. So what was it? There was a supernatural darkness that came over the land and the earth when Jesus died. As he took on himself, the light of the world took in himself all the oily, yucky, messy stuff of sin, moral, emotional, mental, physical abuse, all of that. He took all that sin upon himself. And for the first time, he was shut off from his Father in heaven. At the end of that 3 hours of darkness, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then, all of that darkness, and all that darkness could throw at him, he broke through and he cried out, it is finished. It's accomplished. He absorbed all of that darkness into himself as the light of the world, consumed it, overcame it. You see, that word for darkness is the same word that Jesus used for the place of hell, where there's darkness and gnashing of teeth. The time when Jesus experienced hell was in those 3 hours on the cross. But he overcame it on the cross when he said, it is finished. Yeah. He'd already overcame it before he went into the grave. That's right. It's important that.
Yeah.
The cross is where he defeated death. The resurrection is where he demonstrates his victory. It was already done, accomplished on the cross. The devil knew his time had come when Jesus cried out, it is finished. And what happened was, incredible thing, just after that, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. This wasn't like a little thin curtain. This was a massive thick veil. And it's significant, it was top to bottom. God was showing that he was breaking things open. Opening up a new and living way where every person, every man, woman, boy and child could now enter into fellowship with God because Jesus, his son, had come and he died on the cross for us. So let's go to the last tin. And Aaron, would you like to come and open this tin for us? So, the bread of life, the light of life, the doorway to life, the shepherd who gave his life. And here's the last one. Show everybody what's in that tin.
Nothing.
It's empty. It's an empty tin. What does that tell us? The tomb is?
Empty.
Empty. Thank you. Would you like to keep the tin? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live forever. And there's a great picture. I watched this movie again on Friday night. Where's Xander? Xander, who's that? Yes. Who's it in the movie? Can you remember his name?
Aslan,
that's right. Aslan. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, the Narnia series. And this is where Aslan, representing Jesus Christ, he rises from death and he comes to the top of the rock face and he roars, rawr! And then he takes out that wicked witch. Bah! I love it. Yeah, and there's freedom. He goes and breathes life on those statue on the people who've been frozen by the Queen of Narnia, who's the wicked one, yeah? And he brings life. It's a great picture. Jesus is the shepherd lamb who sacrifices himself for us, opens the door for life, and then he rises as the lamb lion. And you know that the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, billions of angels and billions of saints right now in heaven and us with them are worshiping Jesus as the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lion and he's the Lamb who is worthy to be praised. He gave his life for us. He conquered death. So children and adults here today, if somebody tells you the resurrection of Jesus, it's rubbish or it's a myth, just respond to them very quickly and say, how do you know? The tomb is empty. Nobody ever found a dead body. That would have been the easiest thing to do, wouldn't it? For the guys who said, no, he's not the Messiah, he's not risen. Well, where's the dead body? Excuse me. There was nobody but Jesus was alive. Yeah. He was alive. How do we know he was alive? Because People saw him. Eyewitnesses saw him. A tax collector saw him. Now, tax collectors, receiver of revenue people, they don't hallucinate. You know, they're like facts, figures people, accountants. Now, this is a fact. I saw him. Doctors saw him. Burly fishermen saw him. You know, down to earth, hard, rugged zealots saw him. Alive. And they went out and gave their lives. Now, it's one thing to see someone. It's another thing to speak about him. It goes to another level where you're willing to actually give your life for this thing. And all 11 disciples that saw him after he'd risen from the dead, every one of them sacrificed their lives right across the world. Thomas went to India. Others went to other parts of the world, and they gave their lives to say Jesus is the one who's come to be the Savior of the world. Repent of your sin and come into life. He loves you so much. You see, that's what it does. That's what the resurrection and life does. It gives us courage. You know, it says in Proverbs, the righteous, the saints, those who receive Christ into their lives, they are as bold as lions. Yeah? And that's what it does. It gives you boldness. You may sometimes feel like a mouse or a, you know, weak. I do. But when we turn to the Lord and we receive fresh strength and we mount up again, we say, this is what it's about. We're going to go and share this gospel again in Edinburgh, again in our schools. Because it's not about the Easter Bunny or Willy Wabbit. It's not about Egghead Gareth. No, it's okay. Egg Body, whatever. It's not about the egg or the bunny. It's about Jesus. Because there's nobody like Jesus. So I want to ask you a question this morning. You see, to receive his life, which brings ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment, ultimate purpose, direction and freedom, ultimate love and value to our lives, and ultimate courage and boldness. To receive that life, it's not automatic. We have to choose life. And I want to ask you this morning, will you choose today to follow Jesus Christ? Young or old, children or adults, will you say yes to Jesus today? He's alive. And you say, well, how do I do that? Think of RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland. Change the S to an R, so we got RBR. Three words. The first R it means is the word repent. What does that mean? It just means turn around. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to give my sins over to Jesus, my Savior. I'm going to say sorry for my sins. Second one, believe. Put your faith in Jesus. Say thank you to Jesus that you died for my sins. I believe it. And thirdly, RBR, receive. Receive the gift of eternal life. It's a gift that he gives us. Receive it. And commit your life to Jesus Christ. We mentioned earlier that there's a couple of folk who are going to get baptized as believers in May. And that's the step where we say, yeah, I've received him into my life. I've committed to him. Let's just pray, shall we? And we're going to finish off with a song just now. And but I want to give this opportunity this morning. And along with, if you wanting to say yes to Jesus this morning, just while people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if we could just do that. If you want to say, yeah, I want to commit my life to Christ who gave himself for me. Just raise your hand where you're seated right now. If you want to do that for the first time today, young or old, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, the life. Father, I just thank you for this incredible gift of life that Jesus has made available to us. And Lord, we just give our sins over to you this morning. We turn from them. We put our faith in you. We thank you that you died for our sins and gave your life for us. And we open up our hearts and say, Lord, come and dwell. Come and dwell in my life forever. Come and change my life. Thank you for the purpose, the new direction. Thank you that you are the one who satisfies where no one else can satisfy in that inner being. You are the bread of life. And Lord, we just thank you that we can follow you as believers. And Lord, I pray for each person here today, including myself, Lord, that we would fellowship with you in a fresh way as the bread of life. Eat your word, listen to your voice, cling to you, that we would choose life afresh today. And that we would go out this week and that we would be like those disciples, changed, ready to share the good news. He's alive. He's alive. With our neighbors, with our friends at school. Thank you for putting courage, Lord, in every child here, in every adult here. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, that river of life that we receive when we're born again, when we have this new life.